Hello and welcome to another episode of What's Up, Prof.
How are you doing, Martin?
I'm very well, and you?
I beat you to it.
Nah, we're carrying on and carrying on, and it's not a never-ending story.
Yes, we're talking about the stone of stumbling. And Martin, this stone has been a stone of stumbling ever since there was a rebellion in heaven.
Yeah, so it's...
Even before this earth was created, it was a stone of stumbling. And imagine how many angels stumbled over that stone, right?
A third. And that's probably billions.
That's billions. Now, Martin, since it's been such a stone of stumbling and still is a stone of stumbling, I think we need to pray.
Yeah, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the stone that we can put all our faith in. Help us to discover who and what it is, and that we cannot reject it. Help our viewers and us with the Holy Spirit's enlightenment, and help us to understand how important this is. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus said, "Did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Martin, this stone of stumbling is Jesus, of course. Mm. They rejected him then. And the devil is hell-bent to get humanity to reject him in every age,
particularly
in our age.
Yes.
And the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the fact that he is the rock.
Yeah.
The stone of stumbling, not Peter.
No.
He. Martin, this is a very important subject, and it's a very complex subject because so many people are deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about these things, it might sound harsh because you are saying that everybody that doesn't include Jesus in the formula is basically with the Antichrist.
Yes, and basically lost.
Yes. Of course, God looks at the individual heart and he takes into account the background and the knowledge of the person.
And the light that
he has received. So we don't judge who is going to heaven or who is not going to heaven as individuals.
No.
But we're looking at systems.
Correct.
Systems. So let's jump right into this. Here's a quote from the Review and Herald. "The death of Jesus Christ for the redemption of man lifts the veil and reflects a flood of light back hundreds of years upon the whole institution of the Jewish system of religion. Without the death of Christ, all this system was meaningless." So the entire typology, the entire ceremonial law.
Yeah, all the sacrifices.
Everything pointed to one thing.
Mm.
And if you take Christ out of the equation, then it becomes a ceremony and a ritual which is useless.
That's actually what happened.
Yes. So without the death of Christ, the whole system is meaningless. The Jews reject Christ. And therefore the whole system of religion is to them indefinite, unexplainable, and uncertain. We're talking about the nation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about individuals, because there will be individuals that will accept the stone of stumbling.
Yes.
They attach as much importance to shadowy ceremonies of types which have met their antitype as they do to the law of 10 commandments, which was not a shadow but a reality as enduring as the throne of Jehovah. The death of Christ elevates the Jewish system of types and ordinances, showing that they were of divine appointment and for the purpose of keeping faith alive in the hearts of his people. They were important.
Yeah.
But type has met anti-type. Now, I just want to read to you what Micah says, Martin. Micah chapter 6. "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So the sacrifice is of importance only as we contemplate Christ in it.
That's it. If your focus is gone from Christ, then all you're doing is a ritual.
You have a ritual. You have a ceremony. You have a liturgy. But it is a Christless liturgy. Now, this is very new in the news that Rome and to some extent the Vatican, although they've never admitted having the temple objects, are willing to return the vessels of the temple. That's breaking news. So recently, shortly after the Jewish high holidays, a compelling article was written here on Israel's 365 News about a leading Italian member of parliament who doesn't want to be identified, who had a Zoom meeting with Jerusalem Affairs and Heritage Minister Amihai Eliyahu. The Italian MP stated that Italy is in fact prepared to return the lost temple vessels to Israel and that the time is now to do so. The reaction here in Israel has been overwhelming. Could this be true? The article went on to go viral across many faith-based Jewish and Christian communities. So you cannot separate the two, right? The Christian
no,
and the other.
Especially now.
Yes. And the time is now. Now, whether this actually will take place or not, the fact of the matter, it is causing religious hype.
Yeah.
The article continues, the good news in this scenario is that the official Vatican position currently is that they neither confirm nor deny possessing any Herodian temple objects like the golden menorah, sacred tables, altars, priestly garments, and the like. So there was a discussion with high officials and Zoom meetings, and in the past they always denied that they have them. But the fact of history is that they were carried to Rome.
Yeah.
So if they still exist, they must exist somewhere.
Yeah.
And the most logical place is the Vatican.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, imagine for 2,000 years practically, less than 70,
yeah.
They have been hidden there, if it is so. Well, this is what they claim. This is another article from the House of David Ministries. Every day from my office, I see the Arch of Titus. This is now this minister that is speaking to Israel.
Yes.
This politician who doesn't want to be named for certain reasons. It's hard to miss it. It's big and impressive. And everyone can see what's displayed on it. So here's the Arch of Titus. Jewish slaves carrying off the Jewish temple implements into exile. And if you look at that depiction there, the menorah is very prominent.
Yeah.
Plus all the other vessels. 2,000 years ago, we defeated you. This is Rome now. We destroyed your temple, massacred your people, including crucifixions, and exiled the Jews throughout the world. And I suppose you deserved it. The reason why we would say that, because history tells us that the Jewish zealots killed many, many Roman soldiers.
Yeah, up with the first siege.
And all the time, they were like terrorists. And they killed so many that they got fed up eventually. And in the first siege, when the Roman army withdrew, the Jewish zealots came from behind and killed many Roman soldiers. And that's why Titus came back and destroyed Rome. So Jewish tradition itself says this. 2,000 years have passed, and since then you have undergone a deep change. You have returned to the land of Israel, and I suppose you also deserve to return. God promised that you would one day return, and that time is now. Martin, I don't think they have a comprehension of the typology.
No, They don't understand the part that your house has been left to you desolate.
They don't understand that part. But this is the reality of the matter. And if you take dispensationalism, this is what people believe.
Yeah.
That there will be two dispensations, basically. One dealing with the Jews and one dealing with the Christians. But how the two should meet, if the stone of stumbling is not included in both of them,
it's impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah. Now, here's an article. This is an academic article. It's published in Academia. And it just gives us the backdrop. I just took the abstract here. Theopolitics in the Holy Land, Christian Zionism and Jewish religious Zionism. Now, Martin, this is a misnomer. It's an oxymoron. A Christian Zionism. It's an oxymoron.
Because Christ cannot fit in that sentence.
No. So where is he? He's in half.
No.
The other half rejects him. Remember that Sanhedrin member that said, we will not accept Christ. We prefer to go to Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And we showed that video many times, so there's no point in putting it in again. But the Orthodox Jew does not accept Jesus Christ.
No. And this will probably mean that he still believes Christ must come.
Yes.
And that also negates Jesus again.
Correct. They say, Christians, that man said, that Sanhedrin member, Christians, you may believe that it's Jesus, but we don't. We don't believe that it's Jesus. And then Jewish religious Zionism. So this article says, this article focuses on the theopolitical core of U.S. Christian Zionism and Jewish religious Zionism, the political militancy characterizing two millenarian messianic movements such as Christian Zionism and Jewish religious Zionism constitutes a still under-researched and under-theorized aspect that at present is paramount to address for its immediate and long-term implications in the highly sensitive and volatile Israeli-Palestinian issue in the U.S. and Israel domestic domain and in the wider international community. They're asking the question, what is the relevance of this?
Mm.
Why is there such a political hype? Why are they willing to go to war? Why are they willing to go through all of this turmoil? What is the issue?
Mm.
It's because it's linked to a religious view.
Yeah.
And the religious view is that the children of Israel will return to the Holy Land, that the temple will be built. But Jesus said it will be desolate.
Mm-hmm.
The temple was a place of offering.
Yes, it was a place to bring everything together to point towards Christ.
Yes, and once Christ had come
and
filled that temple and they rejected him, and once the sacrifice was brought, because by one sacrifice he has forever made perfect, there's no point in those sacrifices. Therefore, there's no point in that temple.
Yes.
So how can Christians and Jews at the same time strive towards an ideal that is not biblical?
It cannot, because that it actually is a slap in Jesus' face.
Yes.
If they want to rebuild the temple.
All right. Now, we understand that they have this notion.
Mm.
In fact, Martin, the facts of history show that many of the Jews in Israel today are not descendants of the original Jews, but those that had been converted to Judaism. Mm. So there's a lot of political things that are going on here. It continues to say, although processes of the sacralization of politics and politicization of religion have already manifested themselves in countless forms over past centuries, Christian Zionism and Jewish religious Zionism are unprecedented phenomena, given their unique hybridized nature, political prominence and outreach, mobilizing appeal amongst believers, organizational, communicational skills, and degree of institutionalization. It is a massive system where government and religions are linked together in a political religious system that is willing to be active militarily in order to implement
to protect
what they believe.
Yeah.
And doesn't the Bible say that church and state will come together?
It does. And it's not supposed to, because that's not biblical.
And this fervor, is it confined to the United States?
No.
No.
No, worldwide.
And because Israel is involved, anybody who jumps onto this mindset will be involved, whether they live in Europe, whether they live anywhere in any country in the world. And all eyes are focused on Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And the stone of stumbling, Martin?
Cast aside.
Okay. There's another quote from the home missionary. The Savior has said, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But the wrath of God abideth on him, he says again, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, we've dealt with the Jews. Mm. They reject Jesus as the Messiah. And even if they are messianic Jews, the Messiah that they are waiting for is a national deliverer.
Not God coming to take his bride home.
Yes, and not delivering you from the slavery of sin.
No.
It's a national deliverance. Now, Islam does exactly the same thing. Islam, in fact, is very intricately involved because they both have the same holy sites.
Yeah.
So we continue with this article. Mohammedanism has its converts in many lands and its advocates deny the divinity of Christ. Shall this faith be propagated and the advocates of truth fail to manifest intense zeal to overthrow the error and teach men of the pre-existence of the only Savior of the world? Oh, how we need men who will search and believe the word of God, who will present Jesus to the world in his divine and human nature, declaring with power and in demonstration of the Spirit that there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Oh, how we need believers who will now present Christ in life and character, who will hold him up before the world as the brightness of the Father's glory, proclaiming that God is love. This message is directly opposed to Judaism in its modern form and Islam, because both reject the stone of stumbling.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that we are anti-Islam people or anti-Jewish people. We are not against the people.
No.
We're against the system. It has to be exposed.
That's it, because the Christian system has got a rule, and that is that Jesus is the only way.
Correct.
And that's God's rule.
And we can talk about all the other religions as well. And they will be offended.
Yeah.
And we cannot help that, but we need the zeal to present Christ in his divine and human form.
Mm.
Because it's the only way to be saved. Martin, if you are on a road to destruction, and I say to you, my friend, you're on the wrong road. You must take this road. This is the correct road. It'll lead you to the correct place. Do I become your enemy?
That's how the world actually unfortunately works.
You're right.
But it's not supposed to be like that.
Now, this has been exposed long time ago.
Mm.
The Reformation exposed it again. This is Martin Luther writing. The Turk himself, now Martin, where it says Turk, we would today put in Islam.
Yeah.
The Turk himself, who believes there is only one God who has created all things, permits Christ to remain a prophet, though he denies that he is the only begotten, true, and natural Son of God. But I, God be praised, have learned out of the Holy Scriptures and by experience in my trials, temptations, and fierce combats against the devil, that this article of Christ's humanity is most sure and certain. For nothing has more or better helped me in high spiritual temptations than my comfort in this, that Christ, the true everlasting Son of God, is our flesh and bone. As St. Paul says to the Ephesians chapter 5, we are members of his body, of his flesh and bone. He sitteth at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. When I take hold on this shield of faith, then I soon drive away that wicked one with all his fiery darts. So even the Reformation told us there is no other way.
Yeah.
No other way to be saved than through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, in fact, I think they re-established it very clearly.
Yes. He continues to say, God from the beginning has held fast this article and powerfully defended the same against all heretics, the Pope and the Turk. Afterwards confirmed it with many miraculous signs so that all who have opposed the same at last have been brought to confusion. And he's right. The stone of stumbling is still there.
Well, and it's still a bone of contention, or actually a stone of contention.
Yes, nothing has changed.
No.
But the fact that we're still talking about it means that the gates of hell did not prevail against it.
Amen, definitely.
But here is an article that comes from a Masonic source. It comes from the Kineo Valley Lodge. And it's an article that was written in 2018, and it states, a remarkable connection of Freemasonry and Israel. Now, we've said this before, but here's now a Masonic source giving us this history. On November 2, 1917, Balfour wrote a momentous letter to the most influential Jewish leader in Britain, Lord Walter Rothschild. Now, of course, this was preceded, and it also states this in the article, by a discussion between Winston Churchill and the role players involved. This letter, which began, His Majesty's government views with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, became the legal basis for the partition of Palestine and establishment of a Jewish state. So imagine if there's a partition, then that's a two-state solution.
Mm.
Now, there are many articles in the news these days that this war that is taking place in Gaza actually jeopardizes the two-state solution.
Yeah.
Maybe they want Israel to be all one again so that they determine what the politics and the religio-political situation will be. Whether it happens or not, it's just interesting that that was the original idea. On November 19, 1947, right before an important vote in the United Nations on the partition of Palestine, Weizmann flew to Washington, D.C. to lobby American President Harry Truman. After a brief meeting, Weizmann persuaded a conflicted Truman to support the establishment of a Jewish state. And Truman proceeded to pull out all the stops and heavily lobbied numerous delegates to ensure that the resolution favoring partition received enough votes to pass. And on November 29, 1947, with a vote of 33 in favor, 10 against, and 13 abstentions, the UN Resolution 181 became the international basis for the establishment of the modern state of Israel.
Mm.
And then they continued to say that virtually all the role players involved were High Masons.
High Masons.
So they're actually proud of it.
Exactly.
They're proud
of it. That's why they put it on their website.
Yes. So it's a Masonic state. It is not a state that comes from a divine instructor.
That's very important that people realize. It's not the fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
No.
It is a planned concoction.
Correct. All right. Now, Martin, if that is the case, then why is it there?
Mm-hmm.
And if it is there, then it must be a counterfeit.
Yeah.
Where does it emanate from? We've said many, many times that this is a Jesuit counter-reformation activity. Mm. To sweep all the world into the acceptance of a false religious interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, that the Antichrist will come in the future,
yes,
in a Jewish rebuilt temple, and so the heat is taken off of the papacy,
exactly,
as the true Antichrist.
Yes.
Did the Reformation identify the papacy as the Antichrist?
100%.
100%. Does it fit all the biblical criteria of Daniel and Revelation?
Yes.
Can it be anything else?
Nope.
Does the Bible expand on this issue, mm-hmm, and tell us that there are other possibilities of an Antichrist, or is there only one possibility?
Only one possibility.
So, Martin, this must be a false system,
mm-hmm,
of interpretation.
That's it. It's a counterfeit, once again, by the master of reversal.
All right. And if you want to bring all the religious systems together, and most of them, or 99% of them, reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah, then you again reject the stone of stumbling.
Yeah.
Okay. There's an article in the Washington Post. Half of evangelicals support Israel because they believe it is important for fulfilling end-time prophecy. God's promise to Abraham and his descendants was for all time.
Mm.
That's true. But if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's descendants. They forget that sentence.
They forget that sentence. Hebrews. In Christ, you are the seed of Abraham.
Yes. So evangelical attitudes towards Israel research study shows that those who agree strongly that Israel is important in this is well over 60%, 66, two-thirds. That's amazing. But it's also worth picking out another part of what Jeffries said to CNN. Jerusalem, he said, is the touchstone of prophecy. That prophecy is the biblical prophecy of the return of Jesus Christ and the beginning of the rapture.
You see, so, yeah.
Is there confusion in that?
Completely.
Is there going to be a rapture?
There's going to be a rapture when Jesus comes to fetch us.
That will be the
but
rapture.
It won't be
Is there going to be a secret rapture?
No.
Does the Bible speak about the secret rapture?
Nothing.
Nothing. As the lightning is visible from the east to the west, so will the coming of the, yeah, Son of Man be, right?
So this rapture will be once when Jesus comes to take his whole church, his spiritual Israel, back toward to him.
Correct. So, Martin, it is interesting that half of evangelicals support Israel because they believe it is important.
And then almost 80% agree.
But there must be many in the evangelical world that are confused.
Yeah.
And say, how can it be that we should have an alliance there and that this dichotomy of thinking should even fit somehow into a prophetic picture. Mm. Now, Martin, if Freemasonry was the instrument of setting up this entire system, mm, in order to fulfill a hypothetical prophetic picture that is not biblical and to take the place of the biblical picture, then how can we trust it? Here's a quote from Selected Messages. Fraud runs through all these secret associations, and none can be bound up with them and be free men before God and heaven. Right?
That's true.
The moral nature is dragged down to that which God pronounces unjust, which is contrary to his will and his commandments. One who professes to love God may in these associations be placed in positions which are called honorable, but in the eyes of God, he is tarnishing his honor as a Christian and separating farther and farther from the principles of righteousness and true holiness. He's perverting his powers that have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. He's selling his soul for naught. That's pretty strong language.
So after reading this, I think you must think if you want to be part of any of these secret societies.
Yes, or anything that emanates from them. Mm. In the revelation of his righteous judgments, God will break up these associations. And when the judgment shall sit and the books be opened, there will be revealed the unchristlikeness of the whole confederacy. Those who choose to unite with these secret societies are paying homage to idols as senseless and as powerless to bless and save the soul as are the gods of the Hindus. There goes another big religious system with more than a billion adherents.
Exactly. That's also rejecting the stone.
If the stone is not involved, the building cannot fitly be constructed. Right?
That's it.
So, Martin, it's all about Jesus. It's all about a choice. Do we accept Jesus as the Savior? Who is he? Is he, like Islam says, just another prophet?
Mm-hmm.
Is he like the Jewish Orthodox people believe, an imposter, and they're waiting for someone else?
Yeah. And even the Jesus that they're waiting for is just a national deliverer and not God himself coming to take them to heaven?
Correct. Here's another quote. I was pointed to some who are in the great error of believing that it is their duty to go to Old Jerusalem and think they have a work to do there before the Lord comes. Such a view is calculated to take the mind and interest from the present work of the Lord under the message of the third angel. Now we discussed the third angel, right?
Yeah.
Righteousness by faith in verity is the essence of the third angels. Do not accept the mark of the beast. Do not accept a false system of worship which places Sunday as your sign of rest rather than the Sabbath. For those who think that they are yet to go to Jerusalem will have their minds there and their means will be withheld from the course of present truth to get themselves and others to Jerusalem. I saw that such a mission would accomplish no real good, that it would take a long while to make a very few of the Jews believe even in the first advent of Christ, much more to believe in the second advent. I saw that Satan had greatly deceived some in this thing, and that souls all around them in this land could be helped by them and led to the commandments of God, but they were leaving them to perish. So by concentrating on Jerusalem and what's happening there, souls are lost because you're not preaching the gospel to
them. We mentioned this a few times. There mustn't be an especially.
No.
We have to especially reach these people or especially these people because then you're going to neglect somebody else.
Does the message of the stone of stumbling, does that message need to go to Islam?
Yes.
Does it need to go to Judaism?
Yes.
Does it need to go to Zionism?
Yes.
Does it need to go to Hinduism?
Definitely.
And does it need to go to confused Christianity?
Yes.
Because they're looking at a place rather than working on their hearts to prepare for the coming of Christ.
That's it. So everybody, it's not singling out anybody.
Now, this comes from early writings. I also saw that Old Jerusalem never would be built up. Does that mean the temple won't be rebuilt?
No, it can never be rebuilt.
Why should it not be rebuilt?
Because, like we mentioned before, then it shows how you negate the Christ.
Yes, you want to implement a system and ritual that points to Christ, but there's no Christ in it. And it's a negation of the one sacrifice that has forever made perfect.
Yeah.
All right. And that Satan was doing his utmost to lead the minds of the children of the Lord into these things now in the gathering time, to keep them from throwing their whole interest into the present work of the Lord and to cause them to neglect the necessary preparation for the day of the Lord. We have a message to preach. And the message is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior now.
Mm.
He needs to be accepted. These religious systems reject him. Mm. We cannot be part of them. There's another quote, Martin. Men and women may study the will of God with profit. Let young men and young women, while the dew of youth is upon them, begin to study the word of God, which expresses his will. The steps of Christ are certainly marked out in the word. Go where they can be found today. Do not seek to go back to the land where Christ's feet trod ages ago. Christ says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We can know far more of Christ by following him step by step in the work of redemption, seeking the lost and the perishing, than by journeying to old Jerusalem. Christ has taken his people into his church. We should have highlighted that.
Yes, we should have. But actually, we should highlight this whole portion.
Yes, it's very important. We need to point out that out of that system, thousands of Jews came into the Christian system,
yes.
Right? Because the Christian system was the fulfillment of their types and shadows.
Yes.
So the truth exists in true Christianity, which doesn't reject the stone of stumbling.
Yes. So they, the church, left this system of rituals to become the body of Christ.
Yes, because they understood the meaning of the rituals, yes, and the fulfillment thereof. That's why the curtain was torn from top to bottom, because the old system was done away with.
Yeah.
He has swept away, this is Jesus, every ceremony of the ancient type. He has given no liberty to restore these rites or to substitute anything that will recall the old literal sacrifices. That's pretty clear, Martin.
So,
and it's biblical.
That's it. 100%.
Just because this person wrote it doesn't make it unbiblical. That's biblical.
Yes.
The Lord requires of his people spiritual sacrifices alone. That's what I read in Micah.
Yes.
Everything pertaining to his worship is placed under the superintendence of his Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Father would send the Holy Spirit in his name to teach his disciples all things and to bring all things under the remembrance that he had said unto them. But when Paul went to preach in a certain place, and there were people that had accepted Jesus but didn't understand anything about the Holy Spirit, he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
They said, we've never even heard of him. Right?
Yeah.
So Martin, if the true Spirit isn't working and you're being pointed back to types and shadows, then it must be a foul spirit and an unclean bird that is directing you in that direction.
And making it all part of Babylon again.
Making it part of Babylon. The curse rests upon Jerusalem. The Lord has obliterated those things which men would worship in and about Jerusalem. Yet many hold in reverence literal objects in Palestine, while they neglect to behold Jesus as their advocate in the heaven of heavens. An article in the Review of Herald. This is so spot on.
That's it. So this shows you everybody is up in arms and in a hype because of the possibility of the temple artifacts being able to go back to Jerusalem. And you forget about Jesus.
Forget about Jesus. So Martin, is it important that we understand Jesus? That we understand his mission. What's his mission? To save everybody that he died for.
Yeah.
Does that include the Jew?
Every single
Does
person.
Does it include the Mohammedan? Does it include the Hindu? The shaman? Whatever. Nature worshippers, New Agers, atheists. Anybody, right? Luke 16, verse 16, and the law and the prophets were until John. Period. They were until John the Baptist.
That's it.
There they stopped. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. The law and the prophets were until John. If you're going to repeat this and create it again, you are negating this verse in Scripture.
Completely. You can just as well take it out of the Bible.
Yeah. Matthew 11, 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Have they taken it by force?
Yes.
How many people have been killed?
Millions.
Have the gates of hell prevailed?
No, nope. It's still going.
It must be the truth.
Of course.
Otherwise, it would be gone.
I mean, how hard did they try? How hard has Satan tried over the last 2,000 years to get rid of this?
He tried to get rid of the Bible. Huh? He tried to get rid of true Christianity. He mixed paganism and Christianity. He changed the law of God. He did everything in his power to get
everything
Christ
comes up
out
with
of the
new
system.
Theories to take the prophecies into the future or in the past. Everything has been, he's thrown everything at it.
Yes, and now he's got a false system that is to take the place of true Christianity. And it's a gobbledygook.
Listen.
It doesn't fit together. Acts 28:31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That's our mission. That's our mission. Everything else is eyewash.
Yeah.
Quoting Psalms 2 verse 8, ask of me and I shall give ye the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. It's talking about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to take the whole world into his possession, not concentrate on one little nation. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Have they?
No. Unfortunately, everybody is rejecting him.
That's Old Testament, Martin. We've read it many times.
That was a prophecy.
That's it. They've rejected him again. Mark 1:15, and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. The law and the prophets were until John. Mark 4:11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. They're still in parables, Martin. They don't get it.
No. And God is still trying different ways of bringing it to everybody, to understand it.
Yes.
And they still reject it.
I love this backdrop that we have here. Stone of stumbling, the way, the truth, the life. He's writing in the sand. I think he's still writing in the sand and saying, won't you please realize what your problem is? Your problem is your sinful heart.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
I agree 100%.
Psalms 110, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Can you take it away, this priesthood?
No, God was before and he will be forever.
So the whole Christless confederacy will be taken away. It'll be like dust when that rock strikes the feet of the statue of Daniel. Martin Luther says, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest. This is the most glorious sentence in the whole Psalms, where God claims unto us that this Christ shall be our bishop and high priest, who without ceasing shall make intercession for those that are his, and none others besides him. It shall be neither Caiaphas, nor Annas, Peter, Paul, nor the Pope, but Christ. Only Christ. Therefore, let us take refuge in him. That's the gospel.
That's very well put.
It's amazing the insight that these reformers had. And the adherence to this individual, they call themselves Lutherans. Do they still believe?
Well, maybe there's individuals that still believe. But as a church, a denomination, they don't believe it anymore.
Martin, if they don't believe it, then you have to come out of her, my people, and join those that keep the commandments and have the faith of Jesus.
That's it.
All right, who is this Jesus? Who is this stone of stumbling? He was equal with God, infinite and omnipotent. He is the eternal self-existent Son.
Mm-hmm.
That makes him God, right?
Cannot be any other.
He was from everlasting. While God's word speaks of the humanity of Christ when upon the earth, it also speaks decidedly regarding his pre-existence. The word existed as a divine being, even as the eternal Son of God, in union and oneness with his Father. From everlasting, he was the mediator of the covenant, the one in whom all nations of the earth, both Jews and Gentiles, if they accepted him, were to be blessed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before men or angels were created, the Word was with God and was God. Is that biblical?
That's biblical and very clear.
Does the Jehovah's Witness Bible change that to reduce Christ to a created being?
Yeah.
In Christ is life original, unborrowed, underived. He that has the Son has life. 1 John 5:12. The divinity of Christ is the believer's assurance of eternal life. That's so important, I think it needs to be repeated at some stage.
Well, the divinity of Christ is the believer's assurance of eternal life.
I believe it. And I wish everybody would believe it, the Jew and the Gentile. And to us, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the living bread. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the assurance of every promise. I am, be not afraid. God with us is the surety of our deliverance from sin. Comes from the faith I live by. Martin, are these statements all in the Bible?
Yes. Is Jesus the I am?
Then he is Yahweh.
Yahweh.
1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into the glory. This is a summary of the plan of salvation.
Yeah.
Do modern manuscripts change this?
Unfortunately.
Yes. Martin, is he a stone of stumbling?
Yes, even in the Christian church.
It's amazing. Another quote from The Faith I Live By. Christ was one with the Father, yet he was willing to step down from the exaltation of one who was equal with God. That he might accomplish his purpose of love for the fallen race, he became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. How wide is the contrast between the divinity of Christ and the helpless infant in Bethlehem's manger. How can we span the distance between the mighty God and a helpless child? Did Satan try to kill that helpless child?
Yes.
Did he succeed?
No.
No. And yet the creator of worlds, he in whom was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, was manifest in the helpless babe in the manger. Far higher than any of the angels, equal with the Father in dignity and glory, and yet wearing the garb of humanity, divinity and humanity were mysteriously combined, and man and God became one. Do the religious systems fight against this?
Oh, for sure. Like I mentioned, even in Christianity, they want to make Jesus less than God eternal himself.
I have a copy of a particular Quran, which in the foreword has such derogatory statements about the divinity of Christ that you shudder, where they claim that everybody who believes in the divinity of Christ will be destroyed.
Mm.
Martin, is he a bone of contention? Is he still the stone of stumbling?
Yeah.
Another quote from the Signs of the Time. Christ shows them that although they might reckon his life to be less than 50 years, yet his divine life could not be reckoned by human computation. The existence of Christ before his incarnation is not measured by figures. Life, original, unborrowed, underived. I said I would repeat it. The divinity of Christ is the believer's assurance of eternal life. You either have him or you don't.
That's it. And it's amazing how Satan tries with every arrow of his to get your confidence in his divinity shattered. And then you don't have anything to stand on because you believe actually in something, or you make it a whole soapbox to stand on, and it again takes you away from the
Savior. Jesus. There's another quote from Counsels to Parents. Everyone that is of the truth, Christ declares, heareth my voice. In other words, they follow him, right? Mm. Do these religion systems hear the voice?
No.
No. So they're not of the truth. Having stood in the counsels of God, having dwelt in the everlasting heights of the sanctuary, all elements of truth were in him and of him. He was one with God. It means more than finite minds can comprehend to present in every missionary effort Christ and him crucified. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 verse 5. I was once debating with an Orthodox Jew about this statement. He got so angry when I pointed out that this can only apply to Jesus Christ. No, they applied to the Jewish nation.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Whenever you take the Bible and you show something towards Jesus, even him being God or all of this, people get really angry.
Yes, there's a lot of animosity. So whose animosity are they reflecting?
the devil.
You're right, Martin. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, quoting 2 Corinthians. Christ crucified for our sins. Christ risen from the dead. Christ ascended on high as our intercessor. This is the science of salvation that we need to learn and teach. This is to be the burden of our work. Martin, if we have a Christless religion, we have a religion that leads nowhere.
No. And it's always centered on self.
Yes. He's the world's redeemer. He stands between Satan and every soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. The belt of truth. Mm. Gird your loins. You need this truth. Martin, if you don't have the belt of truth, then your trousers fall down.
Yes.
And you are naked. You don't have the righteousness of Christ. Yes. And those who lay their sins upon Christ through faith in his righteousness will come off victorious. As our mediator, Jesus was fully able to accomplish this work of redemption. But oh, at what a price! The sinless Son of God was condemned for the sin in which he had no part, in order that sinners through repentance and faith might be justified by the righteousness of Christ, in which he had no personal merit. The sins of everyone who has lived upon the earth were laid upon Christ, testifying to the fact that no one need be a loser in the conflict with Satan. Provision has been made that all may lay hold of his strength of him who will save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. But these are some of the most beautiful statements that you can possibly read.
It shows you it's an open invitation.
Yes.
To every single person on earth.
You have to accept the righteousness of Christ. Mm. And the war against this statement is just unbelievable. If you think about the whole construct of the Inquisition, was to war against this statement.
Yeah. Because the church, and the church will choose.
And the Pope.
Yeah.
You have to take their stand. Mm. And still he is the leader of the religious world.
And everybody wanders after him.
Everybody wanders after him. This is Martin Luther again, and he's talking about this verse. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you want to find out about the glory, the character of God, then look at the face of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Martin Luther says the chief lesson and study in divinity is that we learn well and rightly to know Christ, who is therein very graciously pictured forth unto us. We take pains to conciliate the goodwill and friendship of men, that so they may show us favorable countenance. How much the more ought we to conciliate our Lord Jesus, that so he may be gracious unto us? And Peter says, grow up in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that compassionate Lord and Master, whom all should learn to know him only out of the Scriptures, where he says, search the Scriptures, for they do testify of me. So imagine if they reject him. Have they really thoroughly searched the Scriptures?
No, and when you do thoroughly search the Scriptures, it must be unselfish. So you don't have a preconceived selfish motive.
Kiss the Son. Mm. It comes from Psalms. It's the Old Testament.
Because the
let us make man in our image. That's plural. He was talking to Jesus. Mm. They claim now he was talking to the angels. That's ridiculous.
Because the angels, it doesn't even make sense.
No. Martin Luther has some wonderful things to say, and I know I'm laboring the fact, but the fact has to be labored.
Yeah.
Because the whole world rejects it.
You know what? People don't get time to read. No. So this is the time. You can read
it. Let's read it. He says, if Christ be not God, then neither the Father nor the Holy Ghost is God. For our article of faith speaks thus, Christ is God with the Father and the Holy Ghost. Has he now got the ire of the entire religious world on him?
Yes.
Yes. Many there are who talk much of the Godhead of Christ as the Pope and others, but they discourse thereof as a blind man speaks of colors. I haven't got a clue. Therefore, when I hear Christ speak and say, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, then do I believe steadfastly that the whole Godhead speaks in an undivided and unseparated substance. Wherefore, anyone that preaches a God to me that did not die for me on the cross, I will not receive this God. And how do you feel about that?
I agree 100%.
What?
Yeah.
You are at loggerheads with the entire religious world.
I decided that I will do what God asks and not what the world expects.
So you want to say, here I stand, I can do no other.
I'll follow in Martin's footsteps.
He continues. He says, the Holy Scriptures, especially St. Paul, everywhere, ascribe unto Christ that which he gives to the Father, namely the divine almighty power, so that he can give grace and peace of conscience, forgiveness of sins, life, victory over sin, death, and the devil. Now, unless St. Paul would rob God of his honor and give it to another that is not God, he dared not ascribe such properties and attributes to Christ if he were not true God. You can't say he gives grace and forgiveness of sins and victory over the devil if he's not God.
No. And Jesus could not accept worship if he was not God.
Let alone Thomas falling at his feet and saying, my Lord and my God.
Mm.
And then he quotes Isaiah and he says, and God himself says, I will not give my glory to another. And indeed, no man can give that to another which he has not for himself.
Jesus died on the cross because it became apparent to everybody that he claimed to be God.
Correct. But he proved it through the resurrection.
Yes.
But seeing Christ gives grace and peace, the Holy Ghost also, and redeems from the power of the devil, sin, and death, so is it most sure that he has an endless, immeasurable, almighty power equal with the Father. We must think of no other God than Christ.
Mm.
That is a stone of stumbling, Martin.
No.
That he has an endless, immeasurable, almighty power equal with the Father. We must think of no other God than Christ, that God which speaks not out of Christ's mouth is not God. God in the Old Testament bound himself to the throne of grace. There was the place where he would hear, so long as the policy and government of Moses stood and flourished. In like manner, he will still hear no man or human creature, but only through Christ. Would you agree with that statement?
100%.
It's a very powerful statement.
It causes a big division.
Yes.
Because that's the only way.
If he is the only way, then he will hear through nobody's mouth but Christ's. Hmm. A number of the Jews ran to and fro from burning incense and offering here and there and seeking God in various places, not regarding the tabernacle. So it goes now. We seek God everywhere, but not seeking him in Christ, we find him nowhere. Martin, what does that do to the religious systems?
It puts all of them at a loss.
So Martin Luther had amazing insight. Now, I accepted Christ as a consequence of the word. Mm. Long before I read these statements.
Yeah.
Long before.
This is the first time I've read these statements.
So this statement didn't influence me in my thinking at all.
No.
But it confirms me in my thinking.
It confirms me. I agree with this because my thinking was the same as this through studying the Bible.
Now let's read something sad. Something very sad. Where Martin Luther again is right, but unfortunately he gets something wrong.
Okay.
Rather sad, Luther. But here your hopes are dashed. But then what a crafty and mighty spirit the devil must be who can affright and with his fiery darts draw the hearts of good and godly people from this excelling comfort and make them entertain other cogitations of Christ. That he is not their high priest, but complains of them to God. That he is not the bishop of their souls, but a stern and angry judge. The devil has tried everything to misrepresent the character of Christ. The Lord said to Christ, "Rule in the midst of thine enemies." On the other hand, the devil claims to be prince and God of the world. He is therefore the sworn enemy of Jesus Christ and of his word, and of those who follow that word sincerely and without guile. So if you follow the word, are you in trouble?
You are in between the conflict of Christ and Satan. And that's, once again, you cannot be in the middle. You're going to be crushed.
You have to accept one or the other. And then he continues, and he says, "'Tis impossible for Jesus Christ and the devil ever to remain under the same roof." That's what you just said. "The one must yield to the other, the devil to Christ. The Jew and the apostles were for a while under the same roof, and the Jews plagued and persecuted the apostles and their followers, but after a while were themselves thrust out by the Romans. As little can the Lutheran and the Papist hold together. One party must yield, and by the blessing and aid of God, this will be the Papists." Sorry, Martin Luther, to tell you, 500 years after the event, that the Lutherans have capitulated and are sitting in ecumenical councils and have signed the joint declaration on justification. So your followers have yielded. As an institution, Martin Luther.
Yes.
But there are individuals in your church that you raised up on this earth that will accept that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
The only one,
and will separate from all of these institutions that have made him less than what he is. Imagine, Martin, taking a mere man and elevating his authority above that of Jesus Christ. Isn't that an affront?
It is. But the other religions do it with self. They put you as... we've seen that in a previous lecture. You are God. You are divine.
Unbelievable. Here's another quote from Martin Luther. "The wrath is fierce and devouring which the devil has against the Son of God and against mankind. I beheld once a wolf tearing sheep. When the wolf comes into the sheepfold, he eats not any until he has killed all. And then he begins to eat, thinking to devour all. Even so it is with the devil. I have now, thinks he, taken hold on Christ, and in time I will also snap up his disciples. But the devil's folly is that he sees not he has to do with the Son of God. He knows not that in the end it will be his bane. It will come to pass that the devil must be afraid of a child in the cradle. For when he but hears the name of Jesus uttered in true faith, then he cannot stay. The devil would rather run through the fire than stay with where Christ is. Therefore it is justly said, the seed of the woman shall crush the serpent's head, that he can neither abide or hear or see Jesus Christ. Martin, Christ is going to be the victor.
Mm.
Why not choose the side of the victor?
You know what? He has already actually won.
Yes.
He already had the victory over Satan in the wilderness at the cross, and he's just coming to fetch his own.
Yes. He conquered him in the wilderness, and he paid the price for our sins at the cross. Both of those are denied by the established systems of religion. And Martin, this is what we need to understand. If we don't cling to Christ, we have a futile religion. Martin Luther continues, nothing is more sure than this. He that does not take hold on Christ by faith and comfort himself herein that Christ is made a curse for him remains under the curse. There goes the whole of Catholicism.
That's it. So if you don't let Christ carry your sins, you're going to carry it yourself.
Yes. That's why they have a purgatory.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You can pay for it. And only the Pope can relieve you of the punishment. This is such a ridiculous system. And it totally negates the biblical story. The more we labor by works to obtain grace, the less we know how to take hold on Christ. For where he is not known and comprehended by faith, there is not to be expected either advice, help, or comfort, though we torment ourselves to death. And he did.
Yeah.
Before he recognized that Christ was his Savior, he chastised himself.
Yeah.
Here's another source, and this is from Heaven with Love. The Jewish leaders were fixed in a rut of ceremonies and traditions. Their hearts had become like dried up wineskins. Satisfied with a legal religion, it was impossible for them to become the depositaries of living truth. It was impossible,
yeah.
And it still is.
True.
They did not desire that a new element should be brought into their religion. The faith that works by love and purifies the soul could find no place for union with the religion of the Pharisees, made up of ceremonies and injunctions of men. To unite the teachings of Jesus with the established religion would be vain. The vital truth of God, like wine, would burst the old decaying bottles of the Pharisaical tradition.
That's very well put.
It's brilliant.
That is still true today.
Yes.
Any tradition must go.
It must go. And if you do not accept Jesus, when they rejected him, what they were left with is ceremonies and traditions, Christless ceremonies and traditions, as useless to save as the God of the Hindus.
You know how many people are stuck in Babylon because of tradition?
Yes.
Because their fathers were in that church, or their fathers were part of it, and their family. We must be very wary of tradition.
Now, tradition, does it negate the law of God?
Yes.
Didn't Jesus say, in vain you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, setting aside the law of God for your traditions? Mm-hmm. So, not only do they reject Christ as their Savior, they reject his system of government. Mm. They reject his law. And when you reject Christ, you have no Savior. And when you reject his law, then you are a sinner.
So, if you accept Christ, but you don't accept his law, then you're still on the same side as people rejecting Christ, because it cannot be separated.
The devil has got his bread buttered on both sides. Mm. A legal religion can never lead souls to Christ. Is this in harmony with what Martin Luther said?
Yes.
For it is a loveless, Christless religion, Fasting or prayer that is actuated by a self-justifying spirit is an abomination in the sight of God. Very strong words.
Yeah.
But we read it in Micah.
Same.
The solemn assembly for worship, the round of religious ceremonies, the external humiliation, the imposing sacrifice, proclaim that the doer of these things regards himself as righteous, as a title to heaven. But it is all a deception. Our own works can never purchase salvation. You can offer goats and sheep and bullocks as much as you like. You can build temples and glorify ceremonies. It's meaningless.
That's it. Without Christ, this means nothing.
Man must be emptied of self before he can be in the fullest sense a believer in Jesus. When self is renounced, then the Lord can make man a new creature. New bottles cannot contain the new wine. The love of Christ will animate the believer with new life. In him who looks unto the author and finisher of our faith, the character of Christ will be manifest. Martin, the character of Christ was, I have come to do thy will, O God. It is written of me in the book. So, Martin, let me ask you a question. Does the world need a true revival?
Yes.
Not a revival built on hype and temples and Jerusalems and Israel and Zionism and Fratelli Tutti and whatever.
No, a biblical revival.
Okay. So we need a revival of true faith. This comes from this great source, the Great Controversy. The Apostle Paul declares that all that will live godly in Jesus Christ or in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you speak the truth, you will be an enemy of humanity.
That's it.
And the leading figure will be the Pope.
Yeah.
Why is it then that persecution seems in a great degree to slumber? The only reason is that the church has conformed to the world standard and therefore awakens no opposition. The religion which is current in our day is not of the pure and holy character that marked the Christian faith in the days of Christ and his apostles. It is only because of the spirit of compromise with sin, because the great truths of the Word of God are so indifferently regarded, because there is so little vital godliness in the church, that Christianity is apparently so popular with the world.
Mm.
Let there be a revival of faith and power of the early church, and the spirit of persecution will be revived, and the fires of persecution will be rekindled. Why was Stephen stoned?
Because he said Christ is the only way.
Why was Peter put in prison?
Same. And why was Paul beheaded?
Because of exactly those things. Revelation 17, verse 12 and 13. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So the nations of the world will be in harmony with the papacy. Isn't the Pope now going to COP 28?
Yes, the first time in person.
Uh-huh. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. If you give your power and strength unto the beast, you reject the stone.
Yeah.
And he is a stone of stumbling to you. You reject that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't that so?
That's unfortunately puts you out of this plan of salvation.
The papal church will never relinquish her claim to infallibility. All that she has done in her persecution of those who reject her dogmas, she holds to be right. And would she not repeat the same acts should the opportunity be presented? Let the restraints now imposed by secular governments be removed and Rome be reinstated in her former power, and there would speedily be a revival of her tyranny and persecution. Has he not already said that fundamentalists that believe the Bible as it stands are a bane and they should be removed from society?
And he wants the United Nations to have more teeth. That means to have more power with laws and all of this. So they want to get back that power. It's happening.
The Bible says, kiss the Son, lest you be destroyed. Notwithstanding the widespread declension of faith, there are true followers of Christ in these churches. Martin, the world over, longs for something more than all of this hype and ceremony and war of a decayed infrastructure.
Very well put.
So there are people in many churches, and they're looking for the light in all of this darkness. Before the final visitation of God's judgments upon the earth, there will be among the people of the Lord a revival of primitive godliness, not witnessed since apostolic times. The Spirit of God will be poured out. Many will separate from these churches, in which love of this world has supplanted love for God and His Word. Many ministers and people will gladly accept those great truths which prepare a people for the second coming. Martin, I would want to make an appeal to the Christian churches. Get back to the roots.
Now.
Now.
There's no other time like now. We are at the end.
Our message hasn't changed from what Peter said at Pentecost. No. And he accused the Jews that they had persecuted and killed the righteous one. And we have to do the same thing. We have to tell the world that this one that they rejected, this stone of stumbling, is the only way to salvation. And then we can say, he who testifies these things says, surely come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We are just before the coming of Christ. Isn't now the time to embrace Him?
There's no other time like now, the present.
No other time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the world is bent on destruction. They are running at breathtaking speed towards the precipice. And you are holding out your hands as you did to them 2,000 years ago and saying, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. We are heavy laden. We need that rest. Help us to embrace us, to embrace the righteousness of Christ, and to accept that there is no other way to be saved except by this stone of stumbling that was rejected 2,000 years ago and that most would want to reject today again. Give us the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit to make a right decision is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.